Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. How are you? As usual, this is your host, August Crenshaw. Happy to be back with you this week on As a Kid Radio Show. Always excited to talk about the different things that we deal with and how we get past them and move forward in the Word in a practical way so that we can enjoy life, walking this Christian walk without it being as stressful as some people seem to make it out to be. So the chat room is available today. Yay! So for those of you who prefer not to call in, you can definitely type in your questions or comments that you have on the for the show. I'm excited to see what you're thinking and where your head is at. So, I mean, we've had a very eventful last couple of episodes. We talked about so much. And as usual, stay on one topic because there's just so many different things that we deal with. So today's topic, we're switching gears. And for those of you who have been following me, we've talked about serving before, and we talked about the ability to let somebody serve you. Well, today, or rather last night, honestly, because of a conversation I was having with a sister in Christ, I realized that, honestly, we needed to go back to the topic of serving again. And there's just so many different ways and so many different angles that you can look at serving. And I want to talk about it from the perspective of when you get your feelings hurt, basically. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've done quite a few things for quite a few people. And there are some of us out there, we just, it's our natural bent to reach out to folks. It's one of those things that you don't like to see people hurting or struggling. You don't like to see people go down maybe the path that you went down and you want them to live more successful lives. You know, and I'm one of those people. I like to jump in. And what I have found is that my life became more comfortable when I understood that serving was not supposed to be rewarded by the people that I was actually serving. I'm kind of giving you giving away the whole spiel by telling you this, but we're basically just going to talk about how the Word of God assures us that our serving is not in vain. And that's easier said than done, but a lot of times what we do is we serve and then there's an expectation that we have on the other end from the people that we serve. Now, sometimes it's worked out perfectly. I mean, there are individuals out there that I have helped. They have shown that they are very grateful, and some of them, even though I didn't want them to do anything for me, they were able to serve me back. They were able to do something additionally for me at a time when I needed something. But to be honest with you, you know what? There are these rare acquaintances that we get where it ends up kind of being a back and forth, and usually really great relationships/friendships develop from those types of scenarios. But most of the time, we end up feeling like we're just throwing ourselves out there and people mistake our kindness for weakness. And it may sound cliche, it's not cliche-ish, but isn't that what happened with Jesus? Did he not serve? Did he not give of himself? But was he not still ridiculed, mocked, beaten, bruised, et cetera, et cetera? Well, that's the easy way to give the message. You heard that before. I want to look at some scenarios in the Bible where we can see that on the end, the serving was definitely rewarded by God. Well, you guys know I'm like to talk on a practical level. So let me just kind of give you just a couple of feels of some of my experiences without giving you too many details of some scenarios where I served or I reached out to help people, and if I wasn't grounded in God, I would have been depressed or angry because I felt like I got kicked in the butt. Well, there was a lady in a church I used to go to. God connected our paths together. And I didn't know this at the time, but she was struggling in a marriage that was borderline blow up and become a divorce at any given moment. But God was dealing with her and her spouse. My form of serving in this relationship was literally by getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning with this individual, we walked, we prayed, we read the word, we discussed issues, and it was to help her get emotionally and spiritually stable. Eventually, it became a group effort, and her husband was involved. Then her kids were involved. There was a lot of work that was put into helping keep this family together. Of course, it ended up ricocheting. It backfired. The wife ended up leaving anyway after about 6 months of work. And what she did is, I think here comes where the hurt feelings come. She really wanted to go against the grain of God, not against the grain of me. So what she did is she began to distance herself from me. And so, of course, I sat down, I scrutinized myself. It was like, okay, did I say something offensive? I'm a very straightforward, bold woman of God. Maybe did I come too hard with the scripture? Did I let her down some kind of way? I analyzed it. I prayed. I'm like, God, help me. But I had to understand and realize she didn't want to be around me, because by being around me, that meant that she had to deal with what God was ministering through me. So I had to make sure that I didn't get focused on the fact that she wasn't running from me, she was running from God. But it did still hurt my feelings a little bit. You know, that isn't comfortable to put so much energy into an individual and then they reject you. Well, when she did leave her husband cried, you know, and I wanted so bad, and she left me the wrong way, and she really did. But she left him, moved into a house that her mother owned, because her mother moved to Kansas City, and he left him at the house without the bills and the money. They had foster kids. That was their primary source of income. She took the check. She took the foster kids, all of that stuff. So me and my husband were in agreement. Let's help this family out. We're going to help them out because we're hoping that when the stability gets back together, maybe they'll get back together. And we prayed, and we really believe that this is what God wants us to do. So we paid gas, electric, helped him with food, all kinds of stuff to get him equipped, to give him at least a moment to jumpstart his life without her until she came back, hoping that she would come back. Now, with this particular individual, look, we crossed our T's and dotted our I's. We wouldn't just say, here goes $1,000, pay your bill. It was like, let us see your bill, let's see what kind of debt you're in. And from there, we literally took his bill, and then we paid everything for him and gave him the receipt so he could call the utility companies, et cetera, et cetera. I put that tidbit in there because I want you to also understand, sometimes when you serve people, you'll think that the reason why you're getting kicked in the butt is because maybe you didn't do it right. So you'll be saying, oh, if I would have did it this way or that way. There are no rules to follow. There are some things that are common sense that you should or should not do, but we didn't just put this money in his hands. We sat down, we crossed our T's, we dotted our I's. Well, he did the exact same thing. It was like after that, then my husband was no longer his homie. He was no longer his boy. He didn't want to hang out with him or anything more. So could you imagine how that feels? Because we know that the only motivation that we had was to keep that family together, because we believe in what God has put together, let no man put asunder. So we went in full force. But when everything was said and done, and he ended up going around, pimping the streets, literally just saying, I'm going to go out here and do bad all by myself, didn't want anything to do with us. And then he started just, instead of taking what we gave to him as a blessing, we ended up having to run interference because we found out he was going from family to family to family to family in the church, and even was to the point where he was going to go to the pastor. Now, to me, that's an extreme enough example. I don't think I necessarily have to give any more, but trust me, we have had people live in our household. For those of you that were following since Christmas, you guys know that me and my husband took an 18-year-old in. I had a vision the year prior to that she was going to live with us, and some things hit the fan, and she needed a place to stay. And when she came, she told us that God told her to come and live with us and that she needed to be with us, and she gave this long spiel. With or without a spiel, we already told her, we know that God wants you here. We let this teenager live with us. You want to talk about serving? So she, with her school senior year, wouldn't be disrupted. I'm picking her up and I'm dropping her off at school.
her job where she was working at was nowhere near our home to keep her from being off of the public transportation system because it wasn't the best of neighborhoods. I was driving her back and forth to different areas in the city. It was another mouth to feed. There was another grocery bill to pay because she was so emotionally distraught. She came from a damaged family. I'm having those motherly conversations sometimes in the middle of the night. She wasn't from the structure of a household, so that meant I was staying up with her working on schoolwork. She was behind on getting things done to go to college. A lot of energy and effort went into this, and for those of you that have also been following, because my tools were supposed to be blocked, I was extremely fatigued when this young lady was living with me, and I had no idea it was because I was present the whole time. So I'm just saying, when it comes to serving people, a lot of times you get duped on. You put your best effort out there, and you feel like you get nothing in return. So some of us clam up and say we don't do people anymore. And some of us, we get out there and we keep going. What's the difference? What makes one set of people one way and the other set the other people the other way? I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. It's really simple. It's about self-analysis. It's about you. It's not about the people. It's not about what they've done. It's about who you are and where you're grounded at and who you expect to be your rewarder, who you respect, and who you expect to faithfully respond to you when you do what you do. Because people will fail you. God never will. And your attitude is a direct reflection of how much faith you have in God, not how much you've been hurt by people. Because I'm sure I can pick any individual and we could really swap some horror stories. So where does my example in the Bible come from? I'm not going to read this entire passage. You guys know how I am. I think you should do your homework. You should go behind me. You should read these things yourself so that you can see them. But if you go to 1 Kings chapter 17, this is a classic scripture where we've read it and we saw how God has been a God of provision. For those of you that don't know the passage, the bottom line is Elijah was a prophet of God. There was a drought going on because he stopped the rain because of some issues with false prophets, et cetera, not serving God. And during this time and season of drought, that meant the crops and stuff weren't growing, there was no water to drink, and God told Elijah, I want you to go to this widow woman. I commanded her to feed you. Elijah goes, he finds a widow woman. He's like, hey, I need something to eat. She's like, well, me and my son are going to die. We don't have anything left. I'm going to go make our last meal. And he says, okay, well, give me a bite first. And she was like, oh, well, we're going to die anyway. And she did it. After she did that, God blessed her, and it says that her oil and her meal never ran out. So she was blessed. After this, if you keep reading, what you're going to find out is the woman's son died. First thing this woman did was that she got upset with Elijah. What have I done to you that you would allow this to happen? And Elijah's looking at her like, okay, well, here, just give me your son. Elijah takes her son into a room. He prays over him. He comes back to life. And the woman's response is, now I know that I know there is a God. Whoa. I don't know if me giving my quick synopsis, if you caught that or not. But did you catch what I'm saying? The end result is not about you. The end result is about bringing people to the kingdom of God. I mean, can you imagine how that looks? So, yes, you may be an upstanding person, not perfect, but you may be like Elijah. You may really believe in God. You may stand firm in your beliefs. You may not take advantage of people. You only go places God tells you to go. You try to be the best citizen you can. Here it is. You don't overwhelm people. You don't take anything from them unless God tells you to. When this woman blessed Elijah, Elijah was not the person that directly blessed her back, and he was a man of God. Elijah didn't make the meal and the oil continuously keep coming into this woman's pantry. God is the one who did that. Now, she was happy while she was eating. Now, we all know that the dust man came and dust man will return. When her son died, why did Elijah get to blame? The hurt, the sorrow, the pain, the life circumstances. She wasn't on the same level as Elijah. She wasn't as grounded as Elijah. And Elijah was the next closest thing to her. And guess what? He's the one that got it. He got the brunt of the blow because it wasn't about Elijah. It was about the fact that she lost her son. Do the scriptures tell us that? No, they don't. But it is a very normal inference that I can draw because all of us have been in that place where we have lost something or things have gone really bad and we just snap. And anything and everybody that comes by us can be and will be the thing that gets snapped on. She was distraught, just like that couple that I told you about. The way that they responded, the distance that they put in between us, it was never about me. It was about the fact that they were hurt and trying to deal with their situation. It didn't fix itself as fast as they thought it could. Something died in the relationship, so I got the brunt of the blow. And then eventually when my husband was involved in, he got the brunt of the blow as well. So when you desensitize yourself because you realize that it's not about you, then that's part of what eases your mind and your spirit when it comes to serving. See, there's a scripture in 1 Peter. Matter of fact, it's specifically in 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read it really quickly. You guys can go back and get it. But it's in 1 Peter chapter 4, and it's verse 9. I'm going to read verse 9 to 11. It says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so, minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him, verse 10. So let me read 10 again. As every man hath received the gift, we receive the gift of grace of God. It says, so even so, we're supposed to minister the same thing to one another and as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You are showing that you are a steward of grace when you extend the same hospitality. Think about this. How many of you out here have used this expression? Favor ain't fair. If you haven't used it, someone's used it to say something to you about something that happened, or you've heard a pastor or a teacher, you've heard someone say this. The majority of those people have said it. But whenever we say that, we always look at it from the perspective of, I ain't have the education, but God still blessed me with that job over other people that were qualified. Favor ain't fair. You'll hear those types of scenarios. But look at that verse, those verses. Favor not being fair is actually the act of grace that you show to other people, even if they don't deserve it. Favor ain't fair, and it's the favor that you extend even when you feel like someone doesn't deserve it, that you show that favor, because guess what? Somebody, a vessel, had to hire you by listening to God, even though you didn't physically deserve the job, but maybe practically because of what he put down inside of you, you did. So those people that we help at different times in their life, guess what? It did not look like they deserved what they got. But because of the grace of God and blessing someone, even when it didn't look like it was what they deserved, that is showing that favor ain't fair. So the next time you say that, maybe you should actually think about, well, then who can I go bless today who may not deserve it? Who can I help out today? Who may actually, I think they need to get a swift kick in their behind or a wake-up call or knock them upside the head because I think they're freaking idiots. Favor ain't fair. But the hospitality that God has shown to us is the same hospitality that we're supposed to show to others. Another scripture, in Galatians, if you go to Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6 is all about relationships. It talks about even in the beginning, it says that if your brother falls, that ye that are spiritual are supposed to restore one another with a spirit of meekness unless you're also tempted. It talks about how you're to be a steward of the word and you're supposed to teach and you're supposed to help. But when you keep on going, it's around verse 6 or 7, the scripture says that God is not to be mocked. Don't be deceived, because surely as a man soweth, he's also going to reap. Listen, people, the way that you sow into relationship, regardless of their choices, listen, it says that this person was in the wrong. They failed. They made a mistake. But if you're mature, you're spiritual, you got your life together, it's your responsibility then, in spite of themselves, to respond in a manner that will restore them, not to fall into the same trap and gossip about them, talk about them, put them down, cast them out, not forgive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You are supposed to actually respond in a way basically showing favor, showing love, showing grace. And when you do that, the scripture says that God will not be mocked. He will reward according to what it is that you sow. That's what you're going to reap. So at some point in your life, you have to understand that everything that you're doing, you're putting it out there, out into the world, into the universe, to the people, and it's going to springboard back to you, pressed down, shaking over, running together like the scripture, shall men give unto your bosom. That's what the scripture says, that whatever you give out, that's what you're going to get back. You're going to get back. Think about that scripture. That's in Matthew. I don't know why I'm having a brain freeze. Can't think about exactly where that's at, but it's a class of scripture where it says, given it shall be given, pressed down, shaken over, running together, shall be given to your bosom. It didn't say who. It didn't say give all gifts into your husband, and your husband's going to give to you the way you gave to him, but it's going to be so much more. It didn't say all gifts give to that lady that you love in God, and she's going to be the one to give back. It's in general terms, people, because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of the people that you bless, whether you realize it or not, they'll never even be able to bless you at the capacity that you bless them. Some of them may pass you up and they can, but a lot of them can't. So if you're a single mom and you don't have a vehicle, and here I am, a married woman with three vehicles, and you have a situation where you've gotten this job, you have 2 weeks of training. The training hours start at an hour that is extremely early, and the bus lines won't get you there. And then I volunteer and say, hey, I can't have you doing that. I'll drop you off, let the daycare know. I'm going to be the one to bring the kids, and then that way you don't have to struggle with getting to this training. After your training is over, you'll have a more comparable schedule. Me doing that for that person, if God keeps accelerating me in my path and the way that I'm walking, how's she going to bless me back? What is she going to do? You know, I don't need her to give me a ride. I don't need her to drop my kids off the daycare. I work from home. I'm a stay-at-home mom. She could never bless me the way that I bless her. The only thing that she could do is have gratitude for the things that I've given her. And there are some people out there, you guys, that I've helped, that I have been able to experience the joy, the gratitude that these people have felt from saying, thank you so much, August and Larry, for everything it is that you've done for us, for helping us get past this phase, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, but guess what? She can't bless that way, but other people coming down my path can bless me in other ways and help me with other things, whether it's the way that they bless me with giving me insight for my business, bless me with insight for you guys know about the move that we're getting ready to make, insight on how to make the smoothest transition with it. You know, my husband at his job, when he went and talked to his boss, he's like, hey, I can't officially even give you a real 2 weeks notice. I know exactly when we're supposed to close, but we were just having wishy-washiness with the loan commitment date. We know God is going to do this thing on time. So here's a roundabout schedule. She's like, okay, well, if it closes on time, great. It's been wonderful working with you. I know your last day will be this day. If for some reason it's delayed by a day or two, then, you know, you can keep working. And then when you're done, you're actually done. Take my business card. Make sure Who says make sure? Here, take my business card and make sure when you go and go for hire for the next job that you tell them so that I can give you a glowing recommendation because you were a great man to work with. This is a woman who didn't seem like she had a warm bone in her body. Not that she was evil, but she's just always so stressed and bogged down into the office. He didn't know what he was going to get. She's been so flexible. Look at that favor. Look at that honor. Look at the way that God is blessing that thing. So I'm hoping that the little snippets that I gave you, the excerpts that I gave you, that it's giving you some realization that you need to understand that 9 times out of 10, the people that you bless and the people that you serve may not be the people who appreciate it. I hold on to the scripture that said, when Paul said, I plant a seed, Apollos watered it, God gave the increase. The person that plants and the person that waters it, they're nothing. God is all. But you will be rewarded. The scripture says, but you will be rewarded for being a workman with God for your effort. So sometimes, you know what? The people that we help, it doesn't sink into their head right away. They don't realize it. And you know what? If you go back down through memory lane and think about some of the mistakes that you made when you were younger, some of the stupid things you did, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be when you were young. You know, anybody at any age can make a mistake. But when you say, wow, that person was really trying to help me. Wow, this is a situation that I really could have handled differently. And then you look back and you say, you know what? I could have got fired from that job. That person could have stopped being my friend. This thing could have went so many other ways, but God still blessed it to work out. This person still forgave me. They still let me keep the job. There are so many instances, even with ourselves, that mercy has been extended because we didn't deserve to be in the situation that we were in. So if you're having problems and you kind of wanted to go in a shell and you don't want to serve anybody and you don't want to do anything for people anymore, it's because every time you do stuff for people, you know what? You're selfish. I'm saying it just the way that it is. You're very selfish because everything that you do, there is a strategic motivation behind it, and you're looking for something to come out of what you did. And you need a thank you, and you need a case base for you. You need some kind of reward back. And you know what? That isn't godly. That isn't showing that the love of Christ exists in you. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, it says, God is not unrighteous to forget the work of your labor of love, which ye have shown towards his name, and that ye minister to the saints and do minister. You hear that? God is not unrighteous. He doesn't forget the work of your labor of love. So is this the labor of flesh, the labor of let me do what I can do because I want to look good and I want people to think that I'm just this awesome Christian person? If there's any motivation behind it other than the fact that you want to, as it says, show the labor of love towards his name. See, everything that he does in you do in his name, that's what gets blessed. That's when you show that his love exudes out of you. So the question is today, not whether or not you are or are not successful when it comes to serving people, whether or not people do or don't appreciate you, whether or not you are or not getting what you believe that you deserve from the people that you serve. The question is, what is your motivation? What drives you to do what you do? Because if you love God and you love his people and you're hoping that they get it together, then you won't stop. And I will just share this before I get ready to close. The young lady that actually stayed with us, I could have stayed in that place and been really upset with what she did, and I didn't. I had to keep moving. See, there's some big things that could be happening in your life. But if you're always harboring the negative, you'll miss out on them and you won't develop the relationship that you're supposed to. The house that my husband and I live in, it was a blessing to us. And we've served many people in this home, letting them come over to be ministered to, letting them live with us, doing all kinds of things to help people out. And when it came time for us to say, we're going to sell this house and we're going to move, and we believe the Lord wants us to move out of state. A lot of people here in St. Louis thought that we were crazy. We came to this conclusion in the middle of April. Most of you know the testimony, and you've been listening, so you already know. But for those of you that didn't know, for a decision that was made, not April of last year, April of this year, we're closing this week, and we're leaving this week. We're hitting the highway. We close on Friday. We're highway bound on Saturday. We want to get down there before business starts on Monday so that we can go ahead and do the next set of steps, series of steps that we have to do. And there have been some people there, that some faces I've never even seen, who have been very gracious towards me and my husband. The people here have been very gracious towards us in taking this next step. People that we don't even know, I need you to really understand that people that we don't even really know have been blessing us. The people that we blessed that we thought may have responded a certain way or would have, could have, should have helped us out, they're not the ones that are here, but we don't even think about them. I would have to actually think to try to name them all by name. Who should be doing what? Who cares? God is the one who is rewarding us now for taking a major leap of faith. So I hope that the snippet of information that I shared today will give you a little bit more joy, give you some more stamina. Maybe you've been rejuvenated, if you serve a lot, for you to continue to serve, because people need it. There's a deficit of love in our communities, in our nations, in our world, and we need to make sure somebody, somewhere, me and us, needs to be that love, needs to be that extension of hope to help other people. And let's let God be the one that's in control of giving out the rewards. So you guys know at the end of the show, I don't know if you have questions or comments, if you want to add anything to what's been said, but you are always welcome to do so. If you missed it when you called in, all you have to do is press the number one, and it will alert me. You know, sometimes you guys are full of comments. Sometimes you have none. Whatever it is, if the lines are definitely open, I'm definitely always looking for feedback. I hope that this was beneficial, that it's going to empower you through the rest of the week. I always want to thank you for joining us. We will be back here on schedule, as usual, next Monday at 9 a.m. Don't forget, if there was anything in this that was said that would bless you and you want other people to hear it, all of the shows are archived, and you can go back and listen to them. If you missed something and you want to hear it again, you can go back and listen again. You can also email me if you have questions or if there's a specific topic that you want to hear about. It's my name, AugustCrenshaw@yahoo.com. AugustCrenshaw@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, whatever, reach out to me, because I want us to talk about things that we're dealing with every single day to make sure that we can get some freedom in how we're living and what we're doing so that we can enjoy saying that we're children of the Most High God. So I pray that this word has done all that it's supposed to do in your life. God bless, and thank you for joining me. I see we don't have any questions, so I will talk to you all next week.